And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest today is Jelinski Brown. Jelinski is a team leader with United Black Element, which is a division?
Program.
Resource Center. He's also on the Mayor's LGBT Task Force. We're going to be talking about that stuff, other stuff. We have elections coming up this week. He's just going to jump in.
Anywhere I see
and
fit,
talk.
Right.
He's just going to talk.
Welcome back, Jelinski. You haven't been here since...
Almost 2 years.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
Did I not do a good job last time?
No.
Y'all
no, you
invite
did.
Me back?
You did.
Okay.
No.
Not, just checking.
Not, it was a disaster. But thank you for coming back
My
anyway.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
In our new studio, too.
Yeah, exactly. I really like it.
Isn't
really
this
impressed.
New studio nice?
It's
yeah.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
and you
real
have a shower
here.
In the bathroom. I should have brought clothes to shower.
I know. I always shower before the show.
It's good practice.
Yeah,
it is. You smell good on air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's always good.
Because we have cameras in the studio. Let's just start with these stupid elections. First of all, I know where I wanted to start. Pledge drive is over. We didn't do pledge drive last week. Yay, because
Yay.
We made our goal
Yay.
Before
you,
it
everyone.
Got back to us for the third week. But we want to thank everybody. I want to thank Eddie Bernice Johnson, who...
It was a generous donation.
It was a real generous donation she made to our show. And thank you, and come back as a guest again.
Yes.
she's such a character, has wonderful stories, and I'm looking forward to her being back here again.
And thank all the donors. We had some great donations. Thank you for stepping up and mm-hmm. helping to support Lambda Weekly.
A couple
and
of new donors.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But Tuesday is Super Tuesday. Texas is part of Super Tuesday this year. What are you seeing? What do you think is going to happen?
It's going to rain, for one. I'm disappointed by that because I was looking at the weather about a week ago and how on your phone you can get it out 10 days out. I'm thinking,
right.
Oh, it's going to rain on that Tuesday. But things will change. This is Texas, you know.
Absolutely.
The weather will change.
Just wait a few minutes.
But it's still showing rain for Tuesday, so I'm disappointed by that because it usually affects turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we hope that everybody will get out and vote. And if you don't know your location to go vote on Tuesday, you have to vote where you're registered on Tuesday.
Yes.
So
right.
even if you've moved since you registered, go where you're registered. And you can go to dallascountyvotes.org
right.
and put in your information where you live, and it'll tell you where you're going to vote.
That's dallasvotes.org. Very good resource.
Yes.
Vote, people, vote, people, vote.
And, I mean,
yes.
Tarrant County has a similar website. So does Collin County. So does
yes.
Denton. Jelinski, did you vote yet?
I did. I voted on Friday. I did
good.
Early voting because, like Patty, I'm usually late. So I got to get that done early.
I always early vote, too, because I have no idea where my precinct even is. I just don't.
I usually do. I wasn't able to this year, but I'll definitely be out mm-hmm. on Tuesday. We
good.
Encourage everybody else to do the same.
Are you voting Tuesday?
Yeah,
I'm voting Tuesday. See, early vote now is a verb.
Yes.
I early voted.
Make sure y'all share y'all's voting on social media so you encourage your followers to vote as well.
Exactly.
Sometimes
now,
people just forget.
We don't endorse, but the Republican debate... There is a gay magazine in Houston. They called us up. They said, hey, did you at Dallas Voice, they said, hey, did you try to get press credentials over for the Houston Republican debate? We said, no, short-staffed. We're not going to run down for that. They said, we were denied.
Oh,
we
wow.
said, why? Because we're a gay paper. They were very honest about it, didn't want the gay paper there.
And we're surprised.
Not.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so Patty, you said you hadn't heard Lindsey Graham.
No, I hadn't heard his quote.
Okay, what Lindsey Graham said was, if Ted Cruz were shot and killed in the Senate and all the senators were there as witnesses and the trial was held in the Senate, you couldn't get a conviction.
Wow.
So he's really loved, apparently.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten a single endorsement from another one of
from
the 99
colleagues.
Senators. Who he works with, I guess, every day, as much as they work, including the other senator from Texas.
I saw an event on Eventbrite like yesterday that just came up of Governor Rick Perry and Greg, or former Governor Rick Perry and Greg Abbott, hosting some kind of fundraising event or something for him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I was.
Is
there anything about that?
No.
Yeah, it's not that he's not going to get endorsements in Texas. I think he'll probably win Texas, don't you?
I hope not. I hope
you think so?
I hope somebody else, just for the fun of it, trumps him.
Trumps, yeah, good one.
You mean you're not thinking that somebody else, Rubio's him?
Something like that. But I would like to see Cruz get a, you know, lose his home state. That would be kind of sweet. But that's just me.
Because you want a new senator next time.
I would love a new senator.
And that's not going to happen if he's popular on the Republican side.
Right, and it just kind of chaps me that mm-hmm. this is his first elected office, and he's not even focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for another elected office. I mean, he's never even been on the city council or anything.
So. And that should really concern people.
It should.
So Tuesday is Super Tuesday. It's the first time Texas is part of Super Tuesday?
I think so, because we never got to be one of the cool kids.
And we're the biggest state. With elections on Tuesday.
In fact, yes, for the Republican side, there are 155 delegates up for Texas, and it's not all or nothing.
It's not winner take all.
It's proportioned.
It's by congressional district.
Right. It's proportioned mm-hmm. out by who wins what where, and then for the Democrats, there are 222 delegates up, so it's a big prize. It's not California where there are like 400 something. But it's one of the biggest prizes in the country, and so we're in we're one of 11 states happening on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, after Tuesday, we should definitely see 2-3 more people probably fall out of the Republican side.
Do you think?
I would think. I mean, that's a big chunk, not just Texas, but the rest of the states that are included in Super Tuesday. I don't know why they would still stay in if they didn't pick up a couple of those.
Why would they have stayed in after the last?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, why is Carson still in it?
Because he has enough money to do it.
It's
about the money. Yeah.
If you can stretch your money or get more mm-hmm. money. The problem is the money dries up if you're not winning. People don't want to give money to somebody who's, clearly losing.
Jeb Bush still had a lot of money left, and I was surprised. He smartly got out.
Well, after you lose your domain to Trump, I mean, I think I would get out as well. I think that was the greatest piece of that whole
That was. Race. But it wasn't actually his domain.
It wasn't?
No. It was his actual election domain was vote Jeb Bush or something like that. It was slightly different.
Okay, did it have an exclamation point in it?
I don't.
Did you see
I
the new logo that said Jeb, period? The exclamation point was gone.
Oh, God. So anyway, Tuesday, Super Tuesday, it makes a difference this time. So get out and vote.
It always makes a difference.
Well, but in the past, in the primaries, by the time it got to Texas, it had been decided.
Pretty much, yeah, you're right.
So this time it really does make a difference. And the Democratic side, Bernie and Clinton running against each other, and close race.
It is.
And, you know, I just have to point this out. We're talking presidential, and it is usually the largest turnout of all elections.
Right.
But there are an amazing number of people running down ticket for local office, state mm-hmm. office, statewide office and local office that need votes
right.
and on both parties. And so this is really, if you don't understand the primary system, the primary election is really for the two major parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, to decide, to come together and decide who they're going to put on the ballot for November. Because they can't put a whole bunch of people on the ballot for all these offices. They want to put one each, one Republican, one Democrat. And so this is our deciding thing
mm-hmm.
by party. So this is a really important thing. This decides who goes on the ballot.
And it's also different this year because we used to be we had a two-step process.
We're
not doing that anymore.
Two-step is gone.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah.
No more two-stepping.
Yeah. Yeah, for just people who don't know what that is.
It was a caucus and
– You used to vote during the day and then go to a caucus at night. And it was actually the caucus that sent people to the
– decided delegates.
To decide the delegates.
Forward,
yeah. So.
And I even have a button that says I survived my precinct convention, my 2008 precinct convention.
Wow.
Because that was really crazy, but it was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Yeah, we did it too.
Before we go on to one other thing, there was a very funny video that was released this week. They were talking about, 8 years ago, Obama was the cool one, and they showed him playing basketball, and he was just the cool one, right? A video was released of Bernie with his pocket protector and pens and a white shirt on a basketball court, like from across the floor, throws one, gets it in, and it's like, you see, he's cool. Just like Obama. Well, this is what cool is now.
He was on the championship team when he was in like sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And playing basketball.
And I'm not electioneering for Bernie at all. Did you get to the Bernie event yesterday? Because he was here.
No.
The pictures look like there was lots of people there.
Mm-hmm. And Bill was over in Fort Worth today? Tomorrow. Bill Clinton. I think it's tomorrow he's going to be over in Fort Worth.
And he was just recently at Paul Quinn College.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so our guest today is Jelinski Brand. Jelinski's just been jumping in, and that's what we love in a guest. We do when we're talking other nonsense, and he's jumping in. Reason Jelinski's here is because
Jelinski's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to be awesome.
And I want to thank you for stepping in at the last minute.
My pleasure. Anytime y'all give me an opportunity to talk, I'm always about it.
And it was
it
was so perfect because it is
Black
History Month, and so Jelinski is a month or a history.
It's unfortunate I get just a month, huh? You know,
uh-huh.
I was thinking about starting a White Appreciation Day and seeing how that would go over with society. But
they're having one over at the Republican Party.
Oh, really? I need to go join that celebration. I mean, because for me, I really do love all people, but it's really important for everybody to be able to voice and tell their stories. Otherwise, you really don't know who you are. You can't really establish an identity. So that's why programs like United Black Element exist, for us to really be able to cultivate our community and showcase who we are and empower our community to be themselves in spite of others saying, don't be yourself. And tomorrow we're actually celebrating Black Love and Unity via our Black Love and Unity fashion show and community appreciation dinner.
Where is that?
It's going to be a Quixotic World located at 2824 Main Street. And we did.
Is that Deep Ellum?
It is Deep Ellum.
Okay.
Yes. We ran out of tickets, but we were able to add a few more. So there's a lot of excitement around the event. We're expecting about 200 people.
Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
It's a really, really nice event. We have local designers within the community served by United Black Element that have come together to showcase their own designs. So it's local designers within our community. And it's not an event to alienate, to say that, hey, we don't like other races, but to say that this is us. And, if you want an opportunity to learn how to love, Black people, I think you want to go into spaces cultivated by Black folks, and which is loving, and you can learn how to love and be loved as well. So we do invite other folks to come get involved. It's not, specifically race, but it is targeted to the Black population. And you can find out more information about that at ubedallas.org/blacklove.
Good.
And also RSVP there as well if you're interested in coming. We have a few tickets available for that.
Now, do you have models for all of your designs?
We do. We have some beautiful models. It's going to be an amazing show, so I definitely recommend coming to check it out.
Wow.
Now, those that can't make it to the event, we will be recording it and posting on our website soon. So we hope to share that with the world as well for the people who can't be there personally. But it's really going to be an event to remember. And in addition to the fashion show, it's also the community appreciation dinner, just for us to come together and appreciate one another, because I do believe it's important for a community to cultivate loving spaces in which to unify and move forward, because you definitely can do more in numbers than you can alone. So
can you talk a little, you kind of have, how long is UBE been around? You guys are always busy, it seems like. It seems like the coolest group to be part of, because you guys do a lot of activities.
Yes.
How long has it been around?
So United Black Element was started in 2009. It's been around almost 7 years, and it started as an HIV prevention program, because HIV does disproportionately impact the African-American community. I believe the CDC just released a statistic last week.
That was horrible news.
1 in 2 Black gay men will be diagnosed with HIV in their lifetime.
In their lifetime. That's 50%.
Wow. 50.
That's 50%.
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I had to read it twice. Like, oh, my God.
So for the public, that's kind of new information. But for researchers and people in the HIV epidemic, we've known that for a long time now. That, you know, that's
but not one in two.
I mean, it's been that way for a while. Like, I mean,
that's terrible.
Yeah,
it's
terrible.
News for you know, like I said, the public, and there used to be where it was a date on it, so it would be suggested in like you know, by a certain cert. But now it's just in the lifetime, so it's gotten a little worse. But it's been that bad for a while now, and there's so many reasons. So that's why United Black Element was founded to address and help build up some of those underlying issues in which cause HIV transmission to be so rampant in the black community. Now we are at a place where the reason why we are so busy because you have to attack HIV on multiple fronts. It's not just a, you know, one battle. It's you have to battle it from so many angles, you know, attacking personal issues, community and structural and systemic issues. There's so many things that you have to work to work at to actually have an impact on the epidemic. And so we do definitely invite more people to come and get involved. So that's why it's a brotherhood, so to speak, of just a community coming together to deal with it. Because if we don't do it, who will do it for us? So it's been around. We'll be celebrating our 7th year anniversary come this summer. And we're definitely hoping to grow and do more and get more people involved. And, of course, you can always check out more information about us at ubedallas.org. And we currently are a program of resource centers. So, of course, we're a family of that does a whole lot of work in LGBT communities and people that help people affected by HIV and AIDS. So.
And they have a great Facebook page also.
Yes, and we have a community center located in Deep Ellum. So we have hangout space. Guys can come and watch TV, use a computer, hang out, meet new friends, and just gain social support on issues that they may be facing, because we try to be whatever our brothers need us to be. If there's something that we can't help them or help them with, we'll connect them with someone who can. And our main motto is just to help young African-American men, same gender-loving men, reach their greatest potential for good.
It's a beautiful space.
Well, thank
you. It's a great space, and I love going there for events. And I was going to ask you to include all of that information, but of course, Jelinski's so cool. He just rattled it all.
Of course.
Yes.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with LaRon Landis and the late Patty Fink. Jelinski Brown from UBE is our guest today. We'll be back with more right after this.
KNON thanks you for your pledge during our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send it in to KNON 11311 North Central Expressway, Dallas, Texas, 75243, Suite 105. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by donating online at KNON.org. Your pledge counts only if you pay it. That's KNON 11311 North Central Expressway, Dallas, Texas, 75243, Suite 105. Be sure to include the name of the show you're supporting. For questions about the pledge drive, 214-828-9500, extension 234.
This is Kimberly Truex of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and LaRon Landis. We're talking to Jelinski Brown. A variety of issues, and I have a whole list right here, but let's start with Beyonce.
Oh, Beyonce. Where do we even begin? She's so awesome. Like,
explain the story, the back story. Why are we even talking about this?
Go ahead. I'll let you do it. Go ahead.
Oh, Beyonce, she released her new song, the day before the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Called Formation. Really interesting video. Then the Super Bowl performance came, and, you know, just a lot of, I don't know if a backlash from, I think it was just a small set of people with really loud voices. There were supposedly going to be all these protests that never happened.
Right.
And so, I don't know, that's pretty much what happened. You know, it was anti-police. I disagree with that.
Wasn't it like one line that is being taken as anti-police?
Actually, that's the thing. If you listen to the song, the verbatim of the lyrics, it doesn't mention the police or anything even close to it. Not one lyric.
It's more so the video.
The video. The video has imagery that kind of like, you know, that kind of maybe threw something out about, you know, what happened in
Stop Shooting Us and Trayvon
Martin. The Trayvon Martin and stuff like that. So the imagery of the video, okay, you can talk about. But as far as the song itself, there's not one single line in it has right. anything to do with the police. So I was a little bit dumbfounded about that.
So what
I think
happened?
Beyonce is so awesome because she's using her art to really talk about things that need to be talked about. And
Wait. Isn't that the definition of art?
Well, but some people...
No, seriously. Isn't art supposed to be talking about controversial issues and what's going on in the culture? And that's what art is there for.
It should be.
Uh-huh.
It should be, but art could also be used to create and craft a reality for people to oppress them. So it's definitely, you know, Beyonce is stepping outside of that. You know, I think just looking at her lyrics that built up to that moment. So when that album or that song dropped and she released the video, you know, I'm watching it just like the rest of the world. And the first time going through, I'm like, okay, is this happening? Like, because it just felt so good. And then after watching it about four times, I was really able to put in perspective what was going on. It's like, oh my gosh, she's addressing so many issues that need to be talked about. And I think it was affirmation for a lot more people too to just stand up and speak out and speak the truth, even if their voice shakes. It's like, you know, just speak what needs to be said. And of course there was those that opposed her, and I think it spoke a lot about, you know, the people in our country that said, hey, you know, even the police associations that said they wouldn't offer any police protection in various cities that her concerts were in. But then I see, you know, can go on Google and see images or just read stories of the police protecting groups like the KKK, but they say that Beyonce is a terrorist because she's empowering the people with the truth.
That's insane.
It is very insane.
That's insane.
Real quick sidebar, like, don't take this as an endorsement of Donald Trump, but, you know, in his whole candidacy, he's been able to bring so much. You know, people say that we're in a post-racial America, this, that, and the third, and it's like Donald Trump has brought all that out and just brought a lot of the people that don't necessarily believe in post-racial or, you know, want to have an integrated society. He's brought all those people to the forefront, and we were able to see truthfully what we're dealing with. And it's not to say, you know, let's be angry about it, although there is a lot of anger built up, but we got to find constructive ways to be productive about it and overcome it. You know, we can no longer just sweep things under the rug and not deal with them.
But his fans, and I put air quotes around that, his fans say that he's just telling it like it is, and he's just speaking his mind, and he's not politically correct. And to me, that's all code for we want to be able to say exactly what we want to say without respecting anybody.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem has been political correctness. I'm glad that he's politically incorrect. It's like, you know, I was at church this morning, and Pastor said the word politics is just, you know, the Latin root is people. So it's like, you know, he's just speaking the voice of representing people that live in our country. So it's like the political correctness. Of course, you can craft the message that you want to see, and it becomes more like theater. But when you just start speaking the truth, you see what we're really faced against, and we can really accurately deal with it as opposed to living in a distracted society where we think everything is all good, but it's not really good.
See, I disagree with that a little bit. But I'm not glad that he's being politically incorrect. Or somehow or another, being politically correct has been turned into a bad word. And I don't see anything wrong with it. For me, the whole purpose of being politically correct is it's just a matter of respect. You can get your point across, and you can tell the truth of how you really feel and be respectful about it at the same time. That's just my take on political correctness. I agree with you.
It's about being respectful.
It's just being respectful.
I can't be respectful.
And recognizing that other people do exist, maybe
I can't recognize that other people exist.
But I do agree with you in the sense
like
that
you know what I found out
recently?
Let the
bigots show themselves. I've always been about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know what I found out recently? This woman, Hillary Clinton's running for office. Women can vote.
Women can vote.
I didn't know. I did not know this. Getting back to Beyonce, it was about five cities the police were saying they weren't going to protect her.
Right.
And it's really not her they're protecting so much as concert goers.
Exactly.
Okay. So as we're getting closer to these concerts, are they finding police who are going to be there, or is it going to come out of the city's budget, which is what will happen, because they're not going to have these concerts without police protection, so it'll have to be on-duty police officers that are assigned to go.
So that's what some of the police chiefs were saying in some of the cities. I read one article, I think it was in Florida somewhere. He said that not many of his officers were signing up voluntarily, but that they would assign officers if need be. So that's most likely the outcome.
I think it's probably a lot of much ado about nothing. I think most police officers...
By the time we get to the concerts...
Exactly, which again, the tour hasn't even started yet.
Right.
But once it starts, I think most police officers will do their job and go do what they need to do.
But I heard a black comic say that the entirety of her song is speaking to black people, like white people aren't part of it.
Well,
but I don't know if that's true. Or maybe it's just a few of the lyrics.
I'll let you go on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's speaking to white people and black people. It's empowering black people to, you know, embrace themselves because it's very pro-black. But then I think it's also speaking to white people and saying, hey, this is us. And we refuse to be silenced. We refuse to assimilate to your culture. We're going to be our own people. And I think that's okay. Everybody should be allowed to be their own people. We don't have to be alike. Like, that's the beauty in the world. You know, we're all biologically 97% the same, but that 3% difference is what makes us fun and unique. It makes the world fun.
I'm a little different. I don't think the song is speaking to anybody but Beyonce. seriously, if you look at the lyrics, I don't think, for me, and me and some other people got to a big Facebook debate about this. I really don't even think the song is really about empowering black people. She's talking about herself. I think she's addressing things that responds to maybe things about her career, like, you know, at the very beginning, she said she makes a reference to, you know, about she's not with this Illuminati mess. Well, she's been accused of being part of that. I think it's just a Beyonce song.
The Illuminati, really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And so, but the video is different. The video, I can see how that is empowering. But the song itself, I do not.
You think it's about Beyonce?
It's a good song. It's just about Beyonce.
So I think you have to, it depends on how you look at it, too. It's like she's saying, get in formation. Like, so the song is called Formation, but a lot of people also are taking it as get information, as in empower yourselves, get knowledge, get out there and learn what's happening instead of being distracted. Like, and then even like a lot of, I've been so happy to see a lot of black leaders throughout the country take that message. And even if Beyonce wasn't necessarily speaking to anybody, they've been tailoring it to what they need to empower their people. And I've seen so many people from that do some great things in just a short amount of time, and how, you know, people are mobilized. Even with United Black Element, for example, this month we've had so many people now wanting to come get involved with what we do who may or may not have wanted to do it before because it was like, well, I want to shy away from those issues. But now more than ever, they're seeing that it is important and that we have to do it.
So it's made an impact already.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it certainly had an impact on Melissa Harris Perry's show on MSNBC.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing about Beyonce. One thing it did do, not that I was worried about her record sales, it increased sales.
I mean, she is
a controversy.
And the concerts sold out instead of in 10 minutes.
She has to get paid, too. I don't mind if she has to get paid.
And the concerts, instead of selling out in 15 minutes, sold out in 5.
Yeah. Which is
Other than that, Melissa Harris Perry, what happened with her?
Oh, well, as you may know, she's the only tenured professor who has a television show anywhere on cable. And she's like an active professor at Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. And her show has always been on – it was on Saturdays and Sundays only. And she had a fascinating show.
She does. Love her show. Good show.
Where she brings a lot of different people and really confronts a lot of race issues. And in a head-on way, brings on people from many different voices and communities to talk about race. And so she wanted to talk about Beyonce's the song had just dropped like the day before her show. Mm-hmm. So she wanted in the video and wanted to talk about that. And MSNBC and the suits at NBC basically said no. And they sort of took her off the air. And, you know, it wouldn't piss me off so much, except that they'd give us lockup. I mean, come on, you know, it's horrible right. Programming people at the top. But, I haven't watched it yet, but I understand that her show yesterday she's been off the air for a while, and they've been saying, oh, it's because of politics, because of political things going on, you know, like to cover that they need to cover in lieu of her. But she was on the show and then walked off in protest, because they're not going to let her have the freedom. They're not clearly not giving her the freedom that she would like to have and do a great show.
Right.
Right.
You know? They're going to lose all those viewers.
Now, Patty, here at KNON, just to bring it home and make it local, are you given the freedom to do what you want to do?
Yes. Vocal freedom here. Absolutely.
I was going to call it creative chaos here, but
that works too. Sometimes, yeah.
Well, you know, the
chaos.
Suits at KNON. Wait, I'm sure
there are no
suits.
There are no suits. Right. There are no suits.
But see, the bad thing about it is, regardless if you agree with Beyonce, her song or whatever, but at least that's the beauty of it. At least I have the freedom to talk about it.
Right.
Right.
I think we're in one of the greatest times in human history. It's kind of good and bad. It's a double-edged sword in which the mass media, the mass communication, we have the ability for just about every person on the planet to have access to the same information at the same time. So it creates a situation where you can really mobilize people to do what you will or keep them from doing what you don't want them to do. And I think in times like this, you know, we have to really look at the mainstream media and the main media outlets and look at, you know, Melissa in her situation, she not being able to talk about what it is she really wants to talk about. It's like, okay, who is really controlling,
right,
you know, her art, so to speak? She's not able to talk about issues that need to be talked about. It's somebody else, you know, using her probably as a puppet to say and keep certain people at bay. So I think now is more important than ever that we start telling our own stories, and that's just we as local people anywhere. I'm so thankful for local papers like the Dallas Voice and the Dallas Weekly and things that keep it local, you know, where the people truly have a voice, and it's not, oh, you know, about the money at the top, like, oh, I need to keep my pockets fat. So don't talk about these people because they may cut off donations to or sales to my network.
Okay, you know, as talk show hosts on a major network here, you know what I find odd about that? We have some specific rules and guidelines, right?
Right.
And we just stick to them. And as long as we're sticking to those guidelines, we're fine.
And most of those guidelines are simply about being respectful.
A lot of them are,
exactly.
Yes.
You know
yes. It's respectful, but also there are some things about elections and who we can have around elections. So, and that has to do with equal time.
Right.
But equal time is respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have rules. On this national network, don't they have just some simple, clear-cut rules for her show and for every show that they have and for the network? Don't they have some simple, clear – they might not be simple, but don't they have some clear-cut rules?
You would think.
Yeah, say what we want you to say or we'll take you off air.
Well,
I mean, that's what it boils down to, and they've really shaken up programming. They've taken, for instance Reverend Al Sharpton's show, I think, has been moved to maybe once a week, and they've put in a Republican show on MSNBC. And you know, they're shaking up programming and stuff, but just be honest about it. If you don't think that's going to make money, then just, you know, cancel her show and move on. But if you've got a show, and this is her format, and this is a desperately needed dialogue we need to have, then just don't censor her. I mean, you either cancel the show or you don't.
Or you have some good reasons for not having this particular discussion.
Right. But it's, none of it makes any sense. So, and I'm very proud of her for walking off and taking a stand.
Well, before we run out of time, break's coming up. Keeping on this entertainment topic. Tonight are the Oscars.
Oh.
The Oscar So White.
What Oscar So White.
Oh, I just thought they canceled that show.
But, you know, David and Jaleski and I were talking before the show. It's going to be very interesting because of who the host is, Chris Rock. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles this controversy. I don't think he will. That's not Chris Rock's style.
I think he'll skewer it really, 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 really smartly, and everyone will say, thank you, that was great.
That's what comedians do best.
But I don't know. And I've seen all of his stand-ups, especially on his tours. I mean, he hits the stuff head on. I think he won't ignore this.
Oh, he won't shy away from this
at all.
No,
he won't shy away from this at all. And if you don't know what we're talking about, this is the second consecutive year that all of the major categories, actually all of the categories, there's not a single person of color nominated, specifically a black person. So,
is it all of the categories or is it
director, but specifically the main
actor,
ones.
Actress,
supporting
actor,
actress.
Right, so right. It's really five categories.
Yeah, but in all of the categories, there's not a single person of color nominated.
Oh, not even like cinematography, not fashion design, nothing.
Nothing. Okay. And the second consecutive year
This
year has happened. Now, the interesting thing is the one movie that got a lot of Oscar buzz, Straight Out of Compton, nobody, including the acting categories, the guy who played Ice Cube, which is his son, by the way, they were saying that he was really, really great. He didn't get a nod. But the one person who did get a nomination from that movie was white.
Oh, wow.
And the same with Stallone's movie.
Exactly.
Creed.
Exactly, like, Creed. And the Lee guy, Michael, I forgot his last name, but he's so good looking. Anyway, he got a lot of Oscar buzz, too. He did not get a nomination, but who got the nomination? He was the lead character. Who got the nomination?
Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone. The fact that Sylvester Stallone got an Oscar nomination at all, it's like, well,
it's like
really?
Steven Seagal getting one. It's well, like, oh, curious. No.
But Rocky, if you remember, the original Rocky.
He did get a nomination for that.
Rocky was Best Picture of the Year that year.
It was. Mm. It was.
So, I mean,
by
it's
the way,
just.
Sylvester Stallone's kind of short.
Mm-hmm.
He's not very tall at all. Yeah. I didn't really register that until a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
Saw him next to other
right,
people.
Right.
The reason Patty's bringing that up is because Patty is all of 4'1".
Exactly, and I have to speak up for us out there.
Yes.
It's about respect.
So we're going to take a break. Do you see a good fix for that?
For the Oscars?
Was it Viola Davis who said yeah, give us more parts and maybe some of us will be nominated. Let's take our break.
Yeah,
let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink, and Jelinski Brown is our guest today.
KNON thanks you for your pledge during our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send it in to KNON, 11311 North Central Expressway, Dallas, Texas, 75243, Suite 105. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by donating online at KNON.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. That's KNON, 11311 North Central Expressway, Dallas, Texas, 75243, Suite 105. Be sure to include the name of the show you're supporting. For questions about the pledge drive, 214-828-9500, extension 234.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink, and we are talking to Jelinski Brown. We were just talking about the Oscars. And this being Black History Month is an appropriate time to be talking about the white Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here was my question. Because directors are nominated by directors and actors are nominated by actors, this big protest this year should get it in people's minds next year, let me look for a little bit of diversity. But they shouldn't nominate people because they're black. They should nominate them because they're good.
Right.
Right, and in my opinion, I have to stress that, in my opinion, that's not always the case. I think most of the time it's not the case. You know, if you know anything about how the Oscars work and the Academy Awards, it's a big political machine. Mm-hmm. You have to go and work and someone campaign for your win.
And the billboards, the
exactly
the swag bags that get sent around with a copy of the film and the all of those things. I mean, it is a campaign.
It is literally a campaign.
It's not a toe in the water to see how people think.
Because
it's big business.
So since black people don't spend any money in this country at all. Seriously, what are they thinking?
Yeah, what are they thinking?
There really are movies that are targeted for different audiences for a reason. Right. It's a huge industry.
It's a huge industry. But to answer your question before the break, and that is, is there an easy fix? I don't know if it's an easy fix, but I think one of the main reasons to fix it is changing the voting academy. And they did this year for the first time. In response to this, they changed the rules, and that is after, and I forgot how many years, you can't vote anymore. You basically...
So somebody like Meryl cannot vote anymore?
You expire.
I don't know if that's necessarily
I don't know if that's the best way to do it either.
Me personally,
but I think they need to diversify the voting.
I think that, you know, the Oscars, hey, if they want to recognize the people they want to recognize, go forth and do it, honey. Do it. Do what you will. I think at this time, it's like people who don't necessarily feel included in society, you know, don't beg to be a part of anybody else's situation. Just craft your own.
Here's
not
the problem,
to say that
though.
I'm not for segregation, but I am for, you know, if you're not, you know, with the lifestyle I'm with, you know, i.e. the mayor and their whole war on this porn convention, you know, hey, you know, you have to... be willing to stand what you believe in. So, you know, if you want to go start a porn convention, do what you want to do and invite the people. But everybody doesn't have to.
Thought about doing one of my own. And just I sent an email to Philip Kingston and I asked him if what I'm supposed to do is just hire an attorney immediately and then just sue the city, and how much can I expect to get?
Right. And then we can fund us a great event.
That was my thinking. Let's get back to the Oscars.
But no,
here's the problem.
Pick up on his point. Yeah. I agree with you as far as, you know, let's create our own. And mm-hmm. we have. That's why you have the BET Awards, right. The NAACP Image Awards.
Yeah.
The Hispanic Grammy Awards.
Yes.
And so on and so on. We have done that. But if you're in the industry of making movies, whether you're directing, acting, whatever, the Oscars is it. You can't deny that.
It's worth so much money.
So to say that you just want to ignore it, I don't know.
Part of the problem is that, too, is people seeking white affirmation, so to speak, too. And it's like, okay, yeah, the Oscars does have a whole lot of money, but that's just because of how society has been developed and the wealth distribution. It's been flowing that way. But if we continue to cultivate and craft people to see themselves as valuable without anybody else's affirmation or approval, I think we'll be at a place where people are no longer economically enslaved, if you will. And then also you have people who have made it of the black community who then look at the BET Awards or the NAACP Image Awards and even people in the Latino community who don't necessarily look at their award center for them as equal of importance as the mainstream or the Oscars or the Grammys, if you will. But I think, you know, everything is all in what you put your faith in, what the people believe it to be. So,
well, I do think that there is some merit to for example, the whole philosophy that Shonda Rhimes brings to her television and her creations, where she writes storylines not around people's race at all. Any race could fill any of those roles.
Right.
And so she's been able to create Scandal with a powerful black woman, to create How to Get Away with Murder with a powerful dark-skinned black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Viola Davis has been so articulate in talking about how important that is. And how, you know, much he's enjoying the role, obviously. But I think one of the biggest things about roles is casting. And if Hollywood doesn't look to cast anyone except white people, that's all they're going to get.
Unless it is a black role.
Right.
Well, no,
white role.
Exactly. You know, I have a, you know, big theater background. And in college and in high school, we cast whatever. I mean, I played Antigone once, where I was the father and all my kids were white, you know, you know. So, and I remember my theater teacher at the time saying, you know, it's called rainbow casting. We're just, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's who plays the part the best. And that always has stuck with me. And I agree with you, Patty. I say 95% of the roles out there on TV and in movies can be played by anybody.
Right.
It's not specific to race unless you're playing a historical character.
Well, and like even like with – and I go back to Jodie Foster because mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. But on Flight Plan, for example, on that film, the main character was supposed to be male. And she turned the role into female,
right, right.
A lead, you know, right. So they reconsidered the script in that light. And so that's the way they cast it and played it, you know.
So how do y'all feel about Gods of Egypt? Like, there's been this whole big controversy about that is, you know, a lot of people feel that, you know, Egypt, you know, it should have been people of African descent playing these roles because that's where it's at.
But the Middle East, that time period, Jesus was white.
So,
and being Jewish, knows, being he Jewish, was, he was I know. There then.
Dave, I need to borrow your time machine, please.
I agree with you, and there's more to that complaint. You know, this goes way back to when Elizabeth Taylor made that role, you know, popular. Well, right. I mean, come on. They did not look like Elizabeth Taylor.
Right.
You know, Egyptians. And so...
Of course not. She was Jewish.
Exactly. So, Yes, it's just another whitewash of history. So, yeah, absolutely. They need to be played by people of African descent.
And I don't want anybody to take anything that I'm saying about the races as me against anybody. I'm for all people, because regardless of how
we
you construct or deconstruct society, we're all interconnected. But we have to be real about the powers and situations at hand if we are going to move past them.
You know, but going back to what you were saying, there are so few roles going back in history that are just colorblind, and they hired the best person. Nichelle Nichols, I just saw a documentary on this this past week about Star Trek. Nichelle Nichols played Uhura, and she was going to leave after the first season. And she was somewhere, and they told her, oh, a big fan of yours wants to talk to you. And the big fan was Martin Luther King. And they were just talking, and he said she said she was planning on leaving. You know, it wasn't a big role, but it was, you know, it was a network TV role. And he said, you can't leave. And she said, what do you mean? He said, because that's the first role on television where your race is absolutely irrelevant to what you're doing. And if you think about it, there are very few others.
There's a few others. Whoopi Goldberg has made a career of doing this.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, her movie Burglar was written for a white man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, a white man.
Well, her role in Ghost.
And her role in Ghost was written for a white woman. But right. she and Will Smith has also done this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. His big breakout movie, Independence Day, that was written for a white guy.
But James Earl Jones in Star Wars.
But
what's black about that
have.
Role? But exactly. Can you imagine that role with anybody but that great voice?
Oh, exactly.
But there's a difference when you have movies that are fiction and just stories somebody made up or
inspired
versus actual movies that are based on actual events that have taken place.
Because exactly.
then you have the ability to really reshape how people view the world.
But even in that case, like that's what I was saying, most of the roles out there are fictitious. Anybody could play the role.
You know, when Matt Damon,
they don't do it.
When Matt Damon played Martin Luther King, that was really a stretch.
But you know, the head of the Academy is a black woman.
Yeah.
And she struggled to address this.
She did. You know? I actually felt for her. She addressed it, but she also had to, you know, she kind of had to toe the line. I felt bad for her. But I think she addressed it.
You can feel the cringe.
Yeah, you totally could. You totally could.
Okay, so your solution to what they need to do then, Laurent,
is diversify the academy, the voting academy.
But what they're doing is you can only vote for a certain number of years.
Yes, but, and I don't know. I don't.
But
think
people
that's the
can join the academy when they have their first role. And join the Academy as an actor. When they have their first role, they can join as a cinematographer when they've, cinematographed for the first time.
I think the only way you can join is actually by invitation.
Oh, really?
I'm almost positive.
Is that exclusive?
Yeah, it is very exclusive. Yeah, and then even on top of that, you have to have had an Academy Award nomination.
Oh.
Well, it can't be.
No.
Because what's his name? Just got his Academy Award invitation. Jamie Foxx. And it's because he won Best Actor, what, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, I know, but that can't be. There wouldn't be enough people to vote. I mean.
So I could be right. I could be wrong on the. You have to have
that might be a true story.
But I know for a fact you have to get an invitation. You just can't because you're in movies. You can be part of the Academy.
Okay. Huh. So people who won Academy Awards 25 years ago will no longer be able to vote.
See, that's insane. Because if
yeah, possibly.
You build
possibly.
A career. You let's just take Viola Davis. We're talking about Viola Davis. She had lots of parts. She was a working actor for decades before she really hit big.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're saying, well, she could vote during those years. But when she's big, she can't vote.
Right.
I mean, that's insane.
Right.
That's just
I don't think that's the best solution. But
so it sounds like we need to just create our whole new award show with the people's input from the ground up, and we won't have to worry about it, right? Let the Academy have that.
Well it kind of seems like they need to just come up with a much broader voting base.
Exactly.
Broader voting base.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to have a diversified, much more diverse voting base.
I think we're having the wrong conversations about that, but the time that we have left, I don't think we have enough to even go into it. But I do believe that, you know, like I said, the Academy, you know, it's it's been developed and it's come to where it is many, many, many years. So it's not going to change overnight. It's not going to change even in the next few years.
And this argument has been going on for decades. Yeah. This is nothing new. It's still
there's been not been any hashtags all those years.
Exactly.
Now we have social media, which is propelling much of the conversation.
But somewhat it's irritating because people make comments, and I'm like, you know, I know what you're talking about. You know, they're like, you know, oh, quit whining and complaining. It's like, no, this has been going on for years. To this day, in the 80-year history of the Academy Awards, only one black woman has won Best Actress. Halle Berry. Seriously? Yeah. She's the only one you think that's been worthy? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has been going on for decades. Right.
It's nuts.
It's nuts.
Okay, as we were walking into the studio, we were talking about it before the show being Black History Month.
Yes.
And you don't like Black History Month, do you, Jelinski?
Well, I do like Black History Month.
No, you don't.
But I don't think that it should just be a month. It's like, you know, I'm all for, you know, talking about Black history anytime. And for me, you know, working and doing the work that I do, it's Black History Month and Black history every moment. And it's everybody's history, really, because, you know, we have to be aware of where we've come from and what we're up against. And so I think it's important to talk about those stories all the time.
Okay. You know, there are lots of months. There's Women's History Month and Gay and Lesbian LGBT Month, History Month.
Uh-huh.
But there are also lots of days. World AIDS Day.
Right.
National Black AIDS Day.
National Coming Out Day.
National. Well, but just with AIDS. I'm getting somewhere with this. Hispanic AIDS Day. Women's AIDS Day. And the point of those is because there's lots of stuff out there on AIDS and HIV that is not getting into the press.
Right.
And it's an excuse. Oh, it's World AIDS Day. Oh, it's African-American it's U.S. African American AIDS Day, or whatever it was called a few weeks ago. And the CDC releases new statistics, and it's an excuse for mainstream media to write about it.
Right.
So what's your objection to Black History Month?
Well, it's not necessarily an objection to it. It's more
yes, it
so
is. You don't
it was
like
supposed
it.
To grow.
Jelinski, you don't like it.
The history of it, Carter G. Woodson, the guy that wrote The Miseducation of the Negro and who was instrumental in making it happen. It started as a day and then a week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was because black history or black stories wasn't told in schools. And so he wanted to improve that. So he started and it grew to, you know, it was a day and then it grew to a week and now it's a month. But even so, you know, black history doesn't start with slavery and end with Martin Luther King. You know, there's so much more to
it
than that.
This is Texas. We don't teach slavery anymore. I believe the way the textbooks are worded now,
seriously they were them
is that immigrants came to the U.S. to settle from Europe and Africa.
Yes. For better opportunities.
For better opportunities,
life.
Yeah.
It just turned my stomach when I saw that
too.
Most recent one. I was just like, you've got to be kidding
okay,
me.
So,
this is what we're teaching our kids.
So is Black
That's
History Month
crap.
Maybe an opportunity to set the record straight for actual journalists and writers who have some integrity to write facts.
Yes, but then I also think journalists should see that black history is everyday history, so it shouldn't just be
of course it is.
Subjugated to one month.
Okay, so I write for Dallas Voice, and we made a conscious effort to have our viewpoint for 4 weeks written by somebody who is African-American. We highlighted several people in a number of stories, you know, some of our feature stories.
Right.
And I know not just this year, but in other years too, by spending several weeks devoted to let's look for, because we don't have a whole lot of time to do it. We're understaffed. All newspapers are. But by devoting several weeks to that, I have new go-to people. Mm-hmm. And I have every year that we've actually concentrated on this. And by go-to people, I mean I interviewed them for this one story, this one time, and there are some people that you just say, you know what, when I need something on HIV, I can go to you. When I need something on such and such, I can go to you. And they're invaluable because you're writing so many stories in a week, and sometimes you just need that quick quote, or you need a quick fact check, or you need something from somebody to say, yes, that's right, to explain something to you. And I keep finding them. And what it does for me is it gets me to find more diverse sources.
Shouldn't you be doing that all the time, David?
He should be. I think he should be.
Exactly.
You're around.
You know, I'm not saying that's the only time that it happens. I'm saying this is the month where we go out of our way to make sure that it happens.
You should go out of your way all the time because black people are great.
And like in June.
You should go
like
out
in
of your
June
way all the time.
For Pride, we're queer all year.
Yeah, right. Pride, I mean, yeah, we get 1 month, you know, that I think. So then let's, you know, let's create a white appreciation month or something and then only look for new white people in that month. How do you feel
and
about
and celebrate
that?
White culture. And
yeah,
so,
just
know.
1 month.
No, but the important thing I think about what you're saying, David, when you meet, I think the important thing is when you or the staff meet, you get these new contacts, is to use them throughout the year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Not just for.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes. When I say a go-to person, it could be next July, a story comes up, that person's an expert on that topic.
Right. But what might happen is, too, is that person that you met at that time, you know, their information may be outdated, and come June or July, you need to find somebody else. So it's like, I'm not knocking your efforts. I think it's great and all. I love Tammy and you and The Voice, and I think y'all are doing great work, but it's like, you know, why should great people be subjugated to 1 month? Black people, LGBT people,
So here's my quickie story to end that. 1 year, this had to be 15 years ago, we used to do this column, and it featured one person every week who was doing something in the community that week. And they gave me this challenge. Can you find four black people for Black History Month? And I said, sure. So I did. And then in March, I found two more. Because surprise, surprise to this person who is no longer there. Surprise, surprise, there were more than four black people in the community.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
So, but again, that was a matter of challenging us, and then it continues on.
Right.
So that's the good part of it.
Yeah, not like
but
said,
I agree with
y'all
you. No, I agree with you on that. That brings us to the end of another Lambda Weekly.
Thanks,
I'm Jaleski.
Thank
pleasure.
You, Jaleski.
Come back.
Can I make a quick announcement?
Uh-huh.
I just want to throw in a shameless plug.
Yeah, real quick. We're
okay, so we have
time.
Resource Center Toast to Life coming up next Saturday. So visit myresourcecenter.org to check that out. And also, we are in the middle of a capital campaign. So again, myresourcecenter.org. Check that all out. Give, help us do the great work that we do in the communities.
And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.